Oh, it's great. It's great, great, great to see you. The other night, like you, we were hunting for Christmas movies and something to find that either we hadn't seen before or that looked even worthy of being seen. And so, anyway, but I, one of my old favorite go-tos is A Christmas Carol, whatever version of the movie A Christmas Carol. I mean, and oh my goodness, we watched one. It was a redo by Bill Murray. It was, yeah, Scrooged. Yeah, I think I was a bah humbug when that thing was over. It had a few laughs, but you know, I think I'm going to stick to the traditional Dickens, close to the book version. But anyway, you know, speaking of Dickens, and he was the author of A Christmas Carol. He was on record as saying, "It is good to be children sometimes." Do you think that's true?
Yes.
But he says, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself. I thought that was a good thought. And friends, the Gospel of Luke shares with us a very special moment in that Christmas story, in the most familiar and beloved of texts. And I thank you for indulging us for sometimes repeating texts on a Christmas morning. Thank you for understanding that. We just want to get it all in. Can't remind ourselves too much, but I take you back to the story in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 18. It says, about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral home to be accounted for. And so Joseph went up from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. And suddenly, God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them. We just heard that read a moment ago. And they were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that's meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. Now, this is what you're to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. Well, at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. And as the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. I bet they did. They said, hey, let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. And so they left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Well, seeing was believing. And they told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. And all who heard the shepherds were astonished. Okay, church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so friends, the story of Jesus Christ being born, which we call the incarnation, or, you know, becoming human, becoming flesh, even though it is a nice, heartwarming story, it's much more than that. It's actually extremely important for us today, and I wouldn't just say today, but really every day, but it will be of enormous eternal significance. But I do say that sometimes when you and I are overly familiar with the Christmas story, it's possible that we might miss some of the very important lessons that God wants to share with us, which can make our understanding of Christmas then be very thin. And so this morning, inspired by both my own reflections and the wisdom of others, I want to invite you to look with me more deeply beyond the cozy manger. Somebody say, beyond the cozy manger. I want to think it was cozy. That looks kind of cozy. We want to look beyond the cozy manger scene and discover some valuable Christmas lessons for our lives from God's point of view, all right? With the first valuable lesson I propose to you being this, and can I invite you to read some of this with me today, just so we can have some participation together? Here's the first idea. Let's read it together. What might seem trivial could actually hold immense importance. Oh, wow. Yeah, saints, you know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary for a baby to be born in Israel. No, and even giving birth in a stable wasn't a big deal. Babies have always shown up at the most inconvenient times and in the strangest places. We've all heard the stories of babies being born in the back of taxi cabs, right? On the way to the hospital. But in that humble setting, something monumental happened. The Son of God. Somebody say with me, Son of God. Yeah. Entered the world as a little tiny baby to save humanity, on a rescue mission to save humanity from sin and judgment. Tiny, even could be conceived as just a trivial little event in the big picture of things, which immediately brings us to a key takeaway, folks, and that is, I suggest, that you and I need to be cautious about judging our circumstances based on how they look, because that which feels minor to us might be incredibly significant to God. What do you think about that? Yeah, dear one, I'm saying God is working through every situation in your life to fulfill his plans. Every moment matters. Even if it seems minor, or if you don't even see it at all right now. All of us need to realize that in our lives, that sign is posted. God wants to work and is at work in our lives. And so, I think you're hearing with me, we never want to trivialize anything because it could be immense. And as I look back on my own life, there's times I had something happen that at the moment seemed small. But later on, I saw God's hand in it in an amazing way. It could have been a meeting with someone, something that happened to me personally, something even I read or thought, an idea that came to me. Are you with me? Yeah, maybe it was sometimes just a situation where we felt like we encountered God in some space and place and time. Every moment matters in our life, even if we don't see it right now. I think you're hearing this with me. But there's another deeper Christmas lesson from God's viewpoint, my brothers and sisters. It's actually a surprising one, and I propose it's this. And again, I just ask you to read with me, please. Sometimes God even works through people who don't follow him to bring about his plans. Have you ever thought about that one? Yeah, take Caesar in our story, for example. He had the power to create laws that impacted the whole Roman Empire. And one of those laws, as we saw, was a decree for a census across all his territories. That was kind of a first thing that had been done. And since everyone had to register in their hometown, that was the rules of the census. Joseph had to make that trip with Mary to Nazareth. He was from King David's lineage, speaking. And that was where he had to go back to say that's where he's from. But here's the point, friends. While Caesar's main goal was to boost his empire's wealth through taxes, that's what he thought he was doing, God used this non-believing ruler to fulfill a Bible prophecy. Yeah, because you see, 700 years before, the prophet Micah had predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. 7 centuries before. So Caesar's order was the way God moved Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, right on time for the birth of the Messiah. That in and of itself is absolutely astonishing. I mean, and not only because of the fact that the Lord got him to Bethlehem through this decree, but also that it was just at the perfect time when she was ready to give birth. That's just, it's just pretty mind-blowing, really. And folks, I submit to you that this shows us that absolutely nothing can stop God's plans. And he can use anybody, if he needs to get the job done. Even someone who doesn't believe in him. Someone who's not following him. Gosh, it gives us hope in a world like ours, doesn't it? When we see so many things going on and we go, man, there are so many people that seem to be trying to make it happen without God and the messes that are generated from it. And we say, God, how is it going to work out? But God says, hey, I can get it done. And here's a great case in point. So, yes, I'm saying that no matter what decisions those who don't know Christ make, God is in control, ultimate control, okay? Ultimate control, working everything out for his ultimate purpose. Now, I'm going to be honest here. I'm not going to say that you might not face tough times because of those who don't believe. Because sometimes people who don't believe in God, sometimes, not all the time, obviously, but sometimes, they can inflict some, you know, damage. They can inflict some pain. I mean, you've probably been in situations where your life was directly influenced by people who didn't believe in God and they didn't make God's values and priorities, especially the Christian ethics and morals, a priority in their life. And maybe the way they handled and treated you or others, you'd say, wow, made life tough and miserable. But listen, that's the short term. The good news is that God's promise to turn everything around for the good of those who love him, all for his glory and our joy. But here's the caveat, okay? Whether it happens in this life or in the soon coming future eternal life, God makes it up to us. That's the great news. And so we live with that as Christians in our minds and hearts. And it really helps us as we conduct our lives. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. We got to love God in Christ, and we're called according to his purpose for our lives. God's working that out to make that happen. I think you're hearing this with me, everyone. And so we can see God uses all kinds of folks, even those that don't believe in him, to get what he needs to get done. And yes, but there's another deeper Christmas lesson I submit to you that's found beyond the cozy manger. And it's actually an extension of the last idea, and I submit to you it's this. Again, I ask you to indulge me. Let's read. God often chooses unlikely believers to do his work. Okay, so let's pop back to Caesar for a moment. Church, back in the day, Caesar was seen as the most important person in the Roman Empire. There was no one else more important than him. Meanwhile, Mary and Joseph, there they are, strolling along the road. They were just an ordinary Jewish couple with a baby in Bethlehem. And there's absolutely nobody. I mean, we don't have any scriptural record of it, and I can only imagine at the time, I mean, that there's nobody that would have guessed that these two simple, godly people were meant for something as special as they were. I mean, there had been some prophecies in advance and stuff that had been uttered in the family circle. So there were some family wonderings about these two. But there was also some little bit of scandal because, you know, of the fact that Mary ended up being pregnant while they were engaged. And there was no intimacy at that in those days at all. And so it looked like scandalous, but an angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream to marry Mary and to get this on the road and get moving forward because she was pregnant with Jesus. It was a divine act of supernatural creation, that incarnation was. Mind-blowing to us all still today. And yet there it was. But nobody would have anticipated that this simple Jewish couple were going to be involved in something so special. Yet God picked Mary to be the mother of his son, trusted both her and Joseph to raise him. Wow. So, dear ones, another big takeaway from this then is, in my opinion, that the Lord has his own way of fulfilling his plans, using whoever he wants, even the simplest of folks. So don't ever think you're not good enough for him to use. You just couldn't get more simple than these folks, as homespun folks as they were. But God changed the world through these people's faithfulness. He chooses unlikely people to do his work. I mean, just in my life, I feel that. I bet there's a lot of people in this room saying, whatever ways God's used me, I just feel it was unlikely that he would use me. I'm a believer, but, you know, the Lord kind of just puts his hand on you and you say, God, I'm not capable of things. And he says, well, I'm not calling you because of your personal capability. Yeah, loved one, I'm saying that you might be surprised at what God can achieve in your life if you just stay faithful. Somebody say with me, stay faithful. And how many of you know that's really a big thing in this day and age, that someone stays faithful? There's so much unfaithfulness. Even years ago, and I know I'm dating myself here. I don't mean I'm taking myself on a date. I mean I'm dating myself in terms of time. Yes, my wife's given up on me, so I'm dating myself these days. I'm dating myself. I'm revealing my age. That was what I was trying to say. But there was a song back in the day he used to play on the radio, Billy Joel. Honesty, said, such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. True, being untrue means like being unfaithful, you know, not just being dishonest, but being unfaithful. The Lord's looking for faithful people. I mean, first and foremost, you know, before we think of all of our skills, aptitudes, abilities, and being people of note, the Lord's saying, no, I want to find a faithful person. Can I find a faithful person? That's what these two are, simple folk, but faithful folk. That's the order of the day. Your job is to be open to God. Let him use you however he sees fit. For you see, ultimately what really matters isn't how important you are in the world and the world's eyes. No, but how close you are to Jesus. Look at those two pictures. Little child there taking a walk with Jesus and that young man taking a walk with Jesus. The issue is how close are you to Jesus for him to use you? You know, many people who love God will be celebrated in heaven even if they weren't famous on earth. Yeah. And that is so important. And I would suggest the opposite is true. The people that are famous on earth, you might drop their name in heaven and someone would say, who? Who is that? Because you see, it's going to be different then. It's based on different ideas. I think you're hearing this with me, everyone. But friends, beyond the cozy manger scene, there's yet one more final, deeper Christmas lesson I find. And I want to say, I really think it's the master key. And again, it's an extension of the last idea. This is like a telescoping message. Each one goes into the next idea. But I find this idea, this last idea, recorded in one of Jesus' prayers. It's embedded in there. From his ministry, Matthew 11:25. Here's what he said. I like that picture. Look at him looking up praying. He's happy there. It says, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the, childlike. You see, that was what Jesus basic premise for how people were going to be able to believe in him and access the things he was bringing from God. He, from the very beginning, said, you got to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. And here you see him actually praying, saying, God, he said, listen, I'm so thankful. You actually hide this from people who want to think themselves super smart and figure it all out. And you actually reveal yourself to people who are children. So church family, the simple yet profound lesson is this, and we declare it together. Let's say it. God shares his truths with those who are humble. Wow, yeah. So, yes, friends, this little baby was definitely the Messiah that all Israel had been waiting for. But the first folks God decided to tell all about it were just some lowly shepherds working the night shift. I want you to think about this. It's amazing. Anybody here ever worked the night shift? Yeah. I've worked the night shift in radio. Oh, the night shift in radio. That's really an interesting world to be in. Any night shift. I've worked the night shift in steel plant. I've worked night shift in a lot of different places in my earlier years. And, you know, it seems like kind of a lonely and lowly spot sometimes. It's almost like, you know, you're away from the rest of humanity, working graves. I mean, who named it that anyway? It was so depressing. Yes, you'll be working graves. Working graveyard shift. It's like right there. You think, oh, this is not going to be good. I have a feeling it's not going to be good. And that's the point. These guys were working on the graveyard shift. Let's just say it that way. They're working late, these lowly shepherds. And we read that after an angel dropped this news, and then the whole bunch of angels started singing praises, these lowly shepherds set quickly off to find the baby. And once they found him, they couldn't wait to spread the word about his arrival. So I guess I'm just asking, why did God pick these seemingly insignificant people to be the first to meet the Messiah? And by the way, you know, shepherds were considered, you know, on the lower end of the working scale. It was field work. Well, listen, I believe it has everything to do with Christ's prayer we just read. Yeah, I'm going to say maybe it's because they were humble and open to believing the message. They were like, see those little children's faces? Yeah. Humble and open to believing the message. Could that be said about you? My dear friend, please, like those shepherds, be eager to listen to and follow God's word with a childlike humility of heart and mind. That's really what it takes. That's one of the deepest messages of what we're doing here. Wow, I guess I'm asking, are you ready to share the news of Christ's arrival, his advent? That little guy looks ready. Ready to share. Ready to believe, ready to seek, and then ready to share. Well, listen, Christmas is packed with chances for you to tell everyone you talk to, or at least who asks you, about this amazing Savior and what he's done for you. You know, that's really what sharing the gospel really is. Oh, yes, there is some scriptural facts we obviously do have to present, biblical facts, but it starts with me just saying what the Lord's done for me, what I've seen and heard. But that's what we share, is the gift that we've received. Jesus is the best gift you'll ever get, and he's absolutely worth talking about. That's why we're doing this today. Okay, I was going to say, could I request one amen? And I got a peremptory amen. But yeah, we occasionally, we just say amen to that. Amen. He's the best gift. Well, loved one, I want to pray that today's insights will help you see Christmas in a broader light. I also pray it'll help you recognize how God is actively involved in your life. Even in moments when you might feel small, it's reassuring and it brings peace to know that he's guiding you with purpose wherever you are. And I know you might see yourself as an unlikely messenger, but God's chosen you to share his incredible love in Christ. See, I believe God's sovereign hand even in having us all here together today. I know we made the decision to come. I know we got up and got ready. I know we planned to be here. But you see, we just believe that God influences us and he makes ways for our lives to be in certain places and spaces at certain times. Isn't that the case we just made this morning? And for some of us, this being here today, it's a God moment, that God's at work in your life. I just urge you, please, God's chosen you to share his incredible love in Christ. And that's the main point, being in Christ. And so I must ask you personally this Christmas, are you in Christ? Somebody says, well, okay, what does that maybe mean? Well, I'm asking, have you come to Christ in a personal and spiritual way? I'm saying in the way that the Bible describes that you must come if you would enter into essential spiritual rebirth, salvation, and ultimately eternal life with God. That's the question. Have you come into Christ that way? Because the whole message of Christmas is not that he would just be born, but he would be born in who? Us. Like the song says, be born in us today. That's the idea. Born anew of the Spirit, born anew with Christ within. I hope that's where everybody has come. And you'd see this as a God moment if you have not. Well, to help you make that crucial determination, help guide you down that life-giving path, I want to offer you an extremely helpful booklet. We've been giving it out every week. Why Christmas? There you see it on the screen. I've got one right up here, too. This little booklet's this size. It's out on the table in the lobby. Please, if you're in a space where you're saying, look, I need to come back to Christ. I've been away. I just read this morning, maybe you did too, that there's an upsurge now in Bible reading happening across America. Bible sales are up for the first time in many, many years. I think people are hungry, don't you? Are you hungry? And we're hungry for truth. We're hungry for meaning and purpose in our lives. We're hungry for what Jesus brings. So if you're saying, yes, that's me, that's Pastor Rod, that is me, grab one of these, please. Take it, read it. With your whole heart, surrender to the Lord and pray and ask him into your life. Meet him. Also, take this if you need to reconnect with Jesus. I urge you to do that. That would be our gift to you this morning. But right now, let's pray, can we? Oh, Lord Jesus, you're the one to whom the wise men brought their gifts. You're the one the humble shepherds adored. Lord, to you, we lift our voices in praise as we celebrate your birth in Bethlehem. And Lord, we ask that as we honor you in this moment, that our hearts may truly shine with the light of your true presence. Yes, Lord Jesus, be born in us today. Oh, great Prince of Peace, you've come to be with us. And as we've reflected on the amazing mystery of your birth, we pray that you'll fill us with your peace. Please pour into our hearts the peace we long for, a peace only you can provide. Help us to live as children of the same Heavenly Father, eager to share our love for you and to spread it to others, so that together we may be united as your people. Oh Lord, inspire us in love and gratitude for all you've done. And may our joyful hearts spread the angel's message, yes, to everyone. Now Lord, I prayed before, but I'm asking that we would also remember, yes, those who may find Christmas difficult. It wasn't easy for you, Lord Jesus. You were born in a simple animal feeding trough because there was no room for you in the inn. And so, Lord, we're asking for your mercy on those who can't enjoy happiness this Christmas for whatever reason. And we're thinking, Lord, of the poor. We're thinking of the hungry. We're thinking of the sick, the bereaved, and all those who are apart from their loved ones and friends. So through your love shown at Bethlehem, Lord, please protect, guide, and comfort those that we're praying for right now. Savior, thank you for hearing our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, and now, church, will you please stand for our closing sing-along carol to be followed by our blessing. Know it, sing it out, join with me.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and
Amen. Woo. All right, good job. All right, and now, church family, may the joy of the angels, the excitement of the shepherds, the determination of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and stay with you always. Amen. All right, now listen, God bless you. Have a blessed and joyous Christmas, everyone. But before we go, I just want to let you know, if anyone has a prayer need, we'll have folks here for just a bit, a little bit here after the service to pray with you, all right? And then, if you want to go ahead and dismiss to yourself to the Tahoe room, there's going to be some coffee and treats back there, just down the hall to the back. In about 12 to 15 minutes, we're going to have pictures with Santa available in here. So if you and or your family, spouse, whoever, or just you yourself, just say, I want to be on Santa's knee. Like I said, I'm dating myself. You might be someone that wants to just, you and Santa. So if you want to come in about 15 minutes, we'll give them a few moments for prayer, and then you can come in and get your picture taken with Santa. That'd be great. I guess with that being said, I want to dismiss you. Please greet one another again very warmly. Hey, guests, thank you so much for coming. God bless you. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas. Online family, God bless you too. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Come for prayer and head to the back. God bless you.